The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you to another day and another week. The end of the month is here and the end of the run for some in the NCAA basketball tournament. For Alabama, it ended last night in an upset. And what a game it was. The game of the tournament so far. But for the Tide, the stage was maybe just a little bit too big. Nate Oates, afterwards.
So you talk about those five seniors, and couldn't be happier for those guys for what we were able to do their senior year. You know, and the guys that are underclassmen and be back, you know, let's not forget this feeling. We were a lot better team than this, and you got to be great every night in March, you know, or it's a one-game elimination tournament. The best team doesn't always win. You know, the team that plays best that night wins, but it's not always the best team. So really happy with the season, really proud of the guys, really disappointed with tonight.
And Coach Oates is right about one thing. Alabama had the better team last night, but they didn't win. Why didn't they win? Free throws. Season average, 72%. Last night, 44%. Abominable. Three-point range, they weren't very good either. Assist to turnovers, no better. And it got away from them. They came back. They lost the lead. They came back again. They hit in a miraculous shot at the end of the game. Regulation, that is. And in overtime, they looked like they were already packing their bags. But that's not the end of the run for the Southeastern Conference. There is still one team remaining on the men's side, one on the women's as well. And the Razorbacks, they just love dangerously. Every single game, they fall behind by double digits. In every single game, they figure out a way to win. Eric Musselman, what's going on?
You know, when you make the tournament, it's got a little bit of life. Then you advance, it's got more life, and so on and so forth. That, I mean, I love hearing that. That's awesome. That a football, you know, recruiter, whatever, would say that about our basketball team. I know that, you know, with our recruits, the success of our baseball team and the success of Coach Neighbors and the women's team and our track teams, both men and women, those are some of the things that we talk about all the time. When you come to Arkansas, it's a campus of champions.
Some of us remember the last time, but some of you were not even born yet. The last time Arkansas reached the Elite Eight, gas cost $1.15. Musselman was in the CBA. Michael Jordan was about to return to the Bulls after spending a season playing baseball in Birmingham. Zaga had just made his first NCAA tournament. Oh, and here's the most interesting thing. The Razorbacks were the defending national champion. First Elite Eight game since March 26, 1995. Where were you on March 26, 1995? I was watching that game. South Carolina is still alive as well. The women, that is. Had a hot shooting performance yesterday. Sweet 16 victory over Georgia Tech. And we will talk to the coach at South Carolina later in the program, but their winning percentage was pretty awesome and has been. Conference titles, 6. Number one seeds, 5. They have one championship, and they are gunning for another one. And meanwhile, we will remember Howard Schnellenberger throughout the program tonight, a legendary coach. Played at Kentucky, assistant under the Bear, recruited Joe Namath, coach in the NFL, did win a national championship in Miami. Nearly, had he stayed there, would have gone down in history, but he left. He's been at Oklahoma, and he resurrected Louisville and started Florida Atlantic. A Hall of Fame coach, although he is not yet in the Hall of Fame. We'll figure that out. Josh Bertaccini will be with us. JB has the morning show in Northwest Arkansas. He'll give us the lay of the land there. Brad Bradford, who coached under the legendary Howard Schnellenberger, Mike Griffith, who coached under the legendary, well, scratch that. That was a typo. Dawn Staley, who is legendary, and Pat Bradley, who played basketball at Arkansas back when the last time they were good. And we welcome you all to the program on a Monday afternoon, and there is some breaking news from Vanderbilt, where the Commodores are about to put a lot of money where their mouth is. They are putting about $300 million into facilities, and many believe it is long overdue.
I have made clear that Candace and I are committed to bringing Vanderbilt Athletics into a new era. And today, we're taking the next step to transform that vision into reality by announcing the Vandy United Fund, a $300 million investment campaign to support major facilities and operational enhancements in athletics.
This summer, we will unveil detailed renderings and plans for a new football operations building, a new indoor football practice facility, a new basketball operations building, and a renovation and expansion of the McGugin Center. Construction on both the football operations building and the basketball operations building will begin following the conclusion of this upcoming football season.
About the big news on the Vanderbilt campus. So back to the phones, or starting with the phones, I should say, and you can give us a call now at 855-242-7285. We'll get to the Arkansas story in a few minutes. As I mentioned, Dawn Staley later on. Let's get to the calls, and Platypus is first up. Good afternoon, Platypus. Welcome to our show on a Monday.
Hey, Paul, what a great weekend of basketball.
It was. Thank you for calling.
So I wanted to share a few historical firsts in this tournament that I heard over the weekend from the commentators that I thought was interesting. Is first time USC and UCLA have both made the Elite Eight. That was hard to believe. And Juwan Howard is the first time a coach has reached the NCAA tournament as a one seed, as both a coach and a player. That was an unbelievable stat that he's the only one to ever do that. And then I'll give you the third one, Paul. Oregon State tonight is going to be the first 12 seed ever to make the Final Four. Go Beavs!
Well, Platypus, you were on a roll until then. I think maybe you got off the tracks a little bit at the end there. Anyway, so that's where we are. I'm sure we'll hear from Alabama fans throughout the program. There's a lot of teeth gnashing over the way that game went last night. A lot of people were wrong about Alabama going to the Final Four. Your reaction to all of that at 855-242-7285. And our first guest of the afternoon as we look ahead to tonight as Arkansas tries to make it to the Final Four for the first time since 95.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. We're under 7 hours away from a very late tip-off, but something tells me the people in Arkansas will not be going to bed early tonight. For the first time since 95, the Hogs have a chance to get to the Final Four. Josh Bertaccini, who hosts the top-ranked and acclaimed show in the morning with in Northwest Arkansas. JB, great to have you back. It's so good to talk to you, and I cannot wait to hear what's been going on your show and what may be going on early tomorrow morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. It's great to see you. Love the football talk on your show every day, but the basketball talk right now is it's spectacular, too.
So I think we know the historical perspective, but what are you hearing, what are you feeling in that community right now about what could happen tonight? What's already happened, frankly?
Yeah, it's been 25 years, as you said at the top of your show today, right, all the way back to 95. And I heard you talking about vividly remembering the last time the Hogs were, you know, to the Elite Eight this far in the dance. And I was a much younger person myself, but I remember it too, Paul. I remember that team going for a repeat and thinking that Nolan Richardson and the Razorbacks were on the verge of some sort of ongoing dynasty. Obviously, it was cut short, didn't last much beyond the 90s. And then the last 20 years has been just ongoing coaching changes here at Arkansas, trying to recapture some of that Razorback magic that you alluded to. But Eric Musselman in the door, this is only his second year here. And sure enough, here we are tonight, Arkansas and Baylor, an elite game for the Razorbacks for the first time in 26 years. And if they can win this Elite Eight game, who knows, a Final Four potentially around the corner. So folks are pretty excited about hoops here in Fayetteville right now.
JB, I remember talking to you not long after Musselman was hired, and there was a good feeling. I mean, he was a well-thought-of coach. This isn't somebody that you just picked up at a bargain basement sale. But realistically, to get to where we are right now and what could be happening tonight, what was the expectation on that day?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think it's a great question to think back right now to when he was hired and where we are now and how quickly it all seems to have come together. I'd say we're ahead of the curve. You know, Paul, in basketball, let's be upfront. You know, this, the turnaround can happen a lot quicker than it can in football because you're dealing with smaller numbers. So, you know, you need 3-4 key pieces in basketball, whereas football, I mean, you need multiple big time recruiting classes, 20, 30, 40 guys to change the course of a program. So what Eric Musselman did is kind of what he said he would do when he came in. He said he would recruit the state, he would recruit around the state, and then he would recruit within college basketball, which is to say he said he would master the transfer portal here at Arkansas and utilize it as much as he could. And man, has he done that. Justin Smith, a rugged power forward starring for Arkansas this year, a transfer from Indiana. Jalen Tate, who had some huge buckets late in the game to beat Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16 on Saturday night, transfer from Northern Kentucky. Even JD Notte, who didn't play great in the last round, but has been such an awesome two-way player for the Hogs this year. And, man, they need a big game out of Notte against Baylor tonight. He's a transfer from Jacksonville. So you talk transfers, and then you talk the recruiting that he mentioned. Moses Moody, as you know, Paul, one of the better players in the country this year. Devontae Davis, who hit the game-winning shot against Oral Roberts, another in-state freshman from Jacksonville, Moody from Little Rock, and then, you know, you blend those guys together and you really have a great vibe of experience and young talent on this Razorback team, and it's all coming together.
JB, I don't want to rain on the parade, but Arkansas has had a very fortunate draw thanks to major upsets across the board. On top of that, they have been down in every game significantly and have not looked great. What's going on? I mean, I know that sounds like a crazy question considering where they are, but this team will not beat Baylor if they don't play at a higher level.
I think you nailed it. You know, and that's been the concern with this Razorback team is they don't get out to great starts per se. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, Paul. I could come up with something. I'm sure my friend Pat Bradley, who I know you're going to have on a bit, who is such an incredible basketball analyst, he'll probably paint that picture a little better for you. But I think you nailed it. If Arkansas doesn't come out tonight with its hands up, so to speak, and it gets in a hole like it did against Colgate, like it did against Texas Tech, like it did against ORU, Paul, the Hogs have been down by double figures in each of their three tourney wins so far. So some would tell you, oh, that's just the way they drew it up, or that's the way they kind of play. And there is some truth in that. They have tended to win close this year, but you well know in this tournament, your luck is only going to last so long playing really close basketball games and trying to come from behind. So I'm with you. I think to upset Baylor tonight, the first 10 minutes of this game are going to be critical. Arkansas has to make some shots early on. They have not shot very well. And hopefully they can, for Razorback fans' sake, hang in the game, keep it tighter, so that at the end of the game, when Baylor turns on that defensive intensity, which you know the Bears will do, hopefully you got some legs left and you can withstand that charge.
Josh Bernaccini with us. He hosts the top-ranked show in Northwest Arkansas in the morning. And JB, let me ask you this, because I know it's come up on your show. And win or lose tonight, it's going to come up very quickly tomorrow morning. What's the future look like with Bill Musselman, with so many quality openings really all over college basketball, but in particular pretty close in proximity to where you are right now?
Fascinating, isn't it, that that the basketball carousel is really churning right now, right when the football carousel, a little quieter certainly than it has been in the last couple of years as far as openings. So, look, as far as things are concerned with Eric Musselman at Arkansas, Paul, you know, between me and the lamppost, he's not going anywhere. He's got a good thing going here. I don't have to explain to you how awesome the facilities are in Fayetteville, because you make it a point to come out here, you know, at least once a year. I know you. You know this place. You've driven up Razorback Road. You've taken the trip out of the countryside with Dale. You know this place. So if you can get recruits here, they're going to eat it up. And I think Eric Musselman knows that. They've already got a great practice facility that is built, so it's not like you have to go and fundraise for that. Bud Walton's an incredible place to watch a basketball game. I still think as good a place to watch a college game as there is in the country. They're in the process of trying to refurbish some of the concession areas there. So I think there's a lot of good stuff already in place. Musselman loves the social media, Paul. So do Razorback fans. If you look at some of the numbers, one of the more interactive fan bases in the SEC on social media. So there's kind of a love connection there too. And I just think his family likes it here. You know, they're world travelers. You mentioned his dad, Bill. Eric's a lifelong coach like him. He's been all over the country. I think he knows how special this place is. Now, it's going to come down to dollars. It's not about liking living in a place when you're in the business of big bucks coaching. So Arkansas is going to have to ante up. Hunter Yurecek actually spoke about that openly last week at a press conference. The Razorback athletic director said, the more Eric Musselman wins in this tournament, the more leverage he has over me. And sure enough, Eric Musselman's halfway to a national championship here. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying he's already got a lot of leverage there. He will get a sizable raise, and I got to imagine he's here for at least a few more years. Now, Minnesota filled its opening, right? Indiana filled its opening. You have Texas looming down the road. I'm sure there will be a phone call to Eric Musselman's camp. But, Paul, again, between me and you, I'd be stunned if he's not the coach here for several seasons to come at least.
I mean, this would be an inappropriate question for me to ask you or you to ask me, but we're talking about public figures here. What does he make currently, and what does the ceiling look like?
Well, he makes, you know, according to public records, and you're right, we can see that information, he makes about $2.5 million a year, and then you have the additional perks for advancing into the tournament. So I think he's already hit one for hitting the Sweet 16. I don't think the Elite Eight gave him a bonus, but if he wins tonight, he gets another bonus, and then, of course, you win the national championship. It's another bonus. So upwards of $2.5 million, as high as $3 million. And what's it going to take to keep him happy and keep him here, Paul? I mean, right now, Musselman is, the 12th highest paid coach in the SEC. So that doesn't fit right. But look, the timing wasn't right for any more than the contract he got. 2 years later, the timing's right. So another $1 million? I don't know, Paul. We're talking about the kind of money, you know, that a guy like me doesn't know about. Maybe guys like you, I don't know. But when you start to get up into that range of talking $3, $4, $5 million, I think a little bit of it's an ego thing. I think Eric Musselman wants to be if not the highest paid coach in the SEC, on the very short list. And I really believe he will be when all is said and done here.
Well, Calipari is one of the highest paid coaches in all of sports, but I'm thinking about a guy like Rick Barnes, who 2 years ago nearly accepted. Some people think he did accept the UCLA job, and he parlayed that into nearly a $5 million a year gig on Rocky Top.
He sure did. And that's the name of the game. I mean, if the timing is right and you've got the leverage and you handle yourself right and you've got a really good agent, I mean, you can get pretty much whatever you're looking for. And, just look at Gus Malzahn. We talk about him a lot, it seems like, you and I, Paul. But, of course, an Arkansas native, his agent and Gus, of course, had the leverage over Auburn, got that mammoth contract. And, 2 years later, the contract looked ridiculous and Auburn didn't want it anymore. So it's all about leverage. It's all about timing. And I'll tell you this, Paul, if Arkansas can beat Baylor tonight, and I sure think the Hogs have a chance if they start well, if Arkansas can beat Baylor tonight, Eric Musselman is going to get a significant raise.
And by the way, Rick Barnes makes about five this year. I believe it goes to 5-2. 5-4-5 and 5-7. Not that you're negotiating for Bill Musselman. I'm sure he's well aware of what other coaches in the SEC are making.
If Eric Musselman is looking for an agent with no experience who has no idea what he's doing, I think I'm his guy.
And I will volunteer to be your agent because I know your boss very well. I've negotiated with him, and I know just how to get you a new deal. Hey, come on very soon. Come on back very soon. We always enjoy having you, JB. All the best.
Paul, you know we love you here in Fayetteville. Go Hogs.
Thank you very much. JB joining us, and the reason why I know his boss is because he used to be my boss in Birmingham. We'll take a break. And it was a fantastic guy, Dale Daniels. More to come at 855-242-7285. We are back with another couple of hours, including Dawn Staley in about 2 hours, and we'll take your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we say hello to you. I also mentioned at the beginning the passing of Howard Schnellenberger over the weekend, and we will talk about that a little bit later with one of his former players. For those who don't know much about the Schnellenberger story, it is just fascinating. He played for Coach Bryant and at Kentucky and went on to become a legendary figure, even in the NFL. Under Don Shula, was the head coach, was a head coach in the NFL, and also recruited Joe Namath. I've always felt that Schnellenberger made a decision after winning the national championship in 1983 at Miami that may have been one of the costliest decisions a college coach has ever made. He left the University of Miami to take a job with Orlando in the USFL. That was a spring football league. It was obviously a high dollar number. The franchise folded before Howard ever coached a game. And he went on and did fine work, of course, at Louisville and later briefly at Oklahoma as the head coach, and ultimately started the program at Florida Atlantic. But had he stayed at Miami, there is simply no telling the dynasty that he would have enjoyed, because Miami, in the aftermath of Howard Schnellenberger's national championship in 1983, became the most dominant program of that era under coaches like Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, Butch Davis, and others. And quite frankly, none of those coaches could hold a candle to Howard Schnellenberger. We'll get back to your calls right now at 855-242-7285. And Phil is up next. Hey, Phil, go right ahead.
Paul, how are you?
We are doing great, Phil. Thank you.
The first football game I ever attended in Lexington, Howard Schnellenberger was a tight end or a split end. I guess they were about the same, playing for Blanton Collier. In high school at Louisville Flagey High School, his teammate was Paul Hornung, and we've lost both of them, I guess, within the last 12 months.
Yeah, I'd forgotten. I forgot that he played with Paul. That's unbelievable when you think about it.
It really is. Let me just clip notes the Miami thing. A friend and I went to a Miami home game in the Tangerine Bowl in Orlando against Florida now in 1976, Thanksgiving weekend. Had about 35,000 people in there. Miami was about to quit football. They had a coach named Saban. Unfortunately, it was Lou Saban.
Lou Saban, yeah.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Howard Snellenberger drew a line across Interstate 4, which runs from Daytona Beach, we've heard about it in politics, down to Tampa and St. Petersburg. He said, everything south of I-4 is the University of Miami. This man at the University of Kentucky would never guess with that grovelly voice, that bourbon-inflected thing, Phi Beta Kappa at the University of Kentucky. And with what he did with his life, you can guess that, correct?
There's no doubt, Phil. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And one other thing that that I should mention, that at least twice and maybe a third time, I'm trying to remember, somebody would have to help me, Snellenberger was under serious consideration for the Alabama job. And one time it felt like he was about to get it, and then something popped out of his past and in investigating it. It was something very minor. It wasn't like the kind of thing you would normally hear about. It was a dispute between Coach Snellenberger and a prominent alum over money. Something, you know, that may have sounded important at the time, but when you consider the gravity, and he was not hired, and this happened at least twice, and the hires other than Snellenberger turned out to be, the one in particular was Bill Curry. I will not quibble about the hiring of Gene Stallings, but Howard Snellenberger passed over in favor of Bill Curry. So was Bobby Bowden, by the way, just for you historians. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Bob is up next in Virginia. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I want to make a few comments about Snellenberger. I had the honor of playing with him at Kentucky.
Did you really?
He was a fabulous, fabulous football player. Paul, he came from a high school in Louisville, Flagey High School. The coach was Paulie Miller, and he was a fabulous high school coach. He turned out many, many, many great players. Two or three things about Snelly. He both was assistant coach under Blanton. He played for Blanton. He was assistant coach under Coach Bryant, whom he played for. He was also assistant coach under Don Shula.
Right.
There's some information that very, very few people know about Snellenberger, and that was when Cliff Hagan was the athletic director at the University of Kentucky. He offered the job at the University of Kentucky to Cliff Hagan. I mean, Cliff Hagan offered the coaching job to Snellenberger, and he turned it down. There was not a lot said about it. His former teammates, being one of those, we were wanting him to get the job to such a degree, but for some unknown reason, he turned it down. And his success is unbelievable. But, Paul, I want you to remember one thing. As good a coach as he was and a player, he was one of the finest leaders of men that I have ever known. He had that charisma about him where kids wanted to play for him. And that is a tremendous honor that he related to these kids, and they would go the extra mile to play for him. He was a fantastic guy, and I'm sorry to this day that he didn't take the University of Kentucky job that was offered to him by Cliff Hagan.
Well, Bob, thank you for sharing that. I have never heard that story, and again, I've mainly concentrated on the Alabama part of Schnellenberger's career. And, you know, I think, I'm trying to remember, he'd done our show many, many times. The final time, I believe, was in Tuscaloosa one day. I distinctly remember being on our bus because it was lightning outside on a Friday afternoon. But just what our previous caller said was so accurate, just so smart, so dignified. He used to always have that pipe in his mouth. He had just such a strong voice, just a beautiful command of the language. And I've said this now for 30 years, that almost maybe a little bit longer, that his decision will live in infamy. And I hate to say that upon his passing, but it's just one of those great what would have happened if questions. And, you know, he did win the national championship in 83 under rather bizarre circumstances. For those of you Auburn fans will know where I'm going here. Auburn was number 3 in the country. I'm trying to remember what the other circumstances were. Let's see. Miami was number 5, I believe, or something. And Nebraska was number 1. I think Texas may have been number 2. I just can't remember. But anyway, the number 2 team in the country lost. Auburn was playing Michigan in the Sugar Bowl. And Miami, under Schnellenberger, was meeting Tom Osborne's team in the Orange Bowl. Nebraska scored at the end of the game. I believe it was Turner Gill. And instead of kicking an extra point, which would have tied the game 31 all, and Nebraska would have won the national championship with a tie, Tom Osborne, being who he was, decided, I'm going for the win. He went for it. They came up short. And Miami, I think, jumped either 4th or 5th over Auburn and everyone else to number 1. And that was his national championship in Coral Gables. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Anyway, welcome back. Back to the one more thing on the story on Schnellenberger. So this was the 83 season, and Auburn played Michigan in the Sugar Bowl with Bo Jackson and Brent Fullwood. They were a powerful team, but had a dreadful night offensively. And Al Del Greco kicked a field goal at the end of the game to win, to lift Auburn over Michigan 9-7. Of course, about 95% of America was watching the end of Nebraska-Miami at the same time on NBC. But, you know, Texas had lost that day in the Cotton Bowl to I believe, Georgia. So, and that was post-Herschel. And so after the game, I'll never forget being in the locker room at the Sugar Bowl, and Pat Dye and his assistant coaches, they felt like they had won the game. Later that night, I think we were staying at the same hotel. I went up to wherever the coaches were hanging out, and they were celebrating. They thought they had a really good chance of winning it because 1 and 2 had lost. Number 4, I think, was Illinois. They had lost. Somebody else had lost. And then the media and the coaches jumped Miami over 1 and 2 over Auburn. I think Auburn stayed 3, if I remember correctly. Nebraska just slipped to number 2. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Robbie, who is up next. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, my pleasure. First of all, today I'm going to be on your show, long-time caller for sure. But you mentioned Joe Namath earlier. Two things. One is I had the privilege of living in Tuscaloosa for a few years, and just being a Bama fan, you know, you
people that, you know, are in their 80s, even early, you know, early 90s, that knew Bear or, you know, had seen him at a couple bars. And part of Namath's agreement of an older gentleman that I met down there who was in his 80s said that Namath, as a freshman, one of his requests to Bear was to not live on campus, that since Bear had been there, all freshmen and all football players had to live on campus. And he was the first guy to not live on campus, and that he was at a bar in Northport, which was a very small town and still is, across the river, and that's where Bear will go to just kind of get away and maybe have a drink and just relax a little bit. And a lot of the local gentlemen there were giving Bear a really hard time about it. They said, Bear, you know, we got this young guy, freshman, I mean, he must be good. He said, what are you doing letting him live off campus? And it gave him a hard time about it, how it wasn't right to do that, you know, for the other players. And finally, Bear just had enough and slammed his hand down on the bar and said, you want to know why I did that? And they said, why? He said, because I don't want to play against him every week. And he was just so – he knew the talent, even as – I mean, obviously, these guys in Tuscaloosa didn't know this guy from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, and how the talent that he was going to be. And they actually said he was a better safety than he was a quarterback. But – you know, that the Bear obviously saw his talent as a quarterback, just what he needed, and of course, the rest is history. Secondly, Paul, you had a caller a couple of days ago that mentioned Harlan Hill, and I've got a trivia question for you. And can you tell me the last Alabama football player to score a touchdown in the Rose Bowl game, not National Championship Rose Bowl, prior to last year?
I cannot.
It's in 1946, and his name was Hal Self. And he actually head coached Harlan Hill here at Florence State University.
Well, that's amazing. That is
Yes, sir.
Robbie, thank you. I am continuing to learn things on this program every night. I appreciate the call. Rick is up next in Nevada. Hello, Rick.
Well, hello, my dear friend. Good to hear talk to you.
Thank you. It's so great to hear from you again.
I'm just glad that you're fine and you keep on rolling with the show. I do follow you, and just haven't had a lot to say over the last year and a half, but I'm going to get back in the groove here.
Please.
What got me going was thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, for Coach Schnellenberger. Done a terrific. I know when people look at his record, they'll go, what? But I had to tell a couple people when his passing, I go, except for Oklahoma, you know, his universities – were building jobs, rebuilding jobs. And my two questions for you, Paul, because I know you would know. When he went to Miami, weren't they on the verge of closing down the football program at that time?
Yes, they were. It was so bad, in fact, that I remember 1979, Coach Bryant gave Miami a game just to try to give them some money. I mean, the program was almost out of business. They were playing games on Friday night. They were completely off the charts, and that's why I've always felt Schnellenberger never quite got the credit that he deserved because he wasn't there long enough. Jimmy Johnson really got his career spiraled upwards because of that, and so did Erickson and other people. But Howard built that program.
Oh, he not only built the program, just think about it. He had Kelly, who got hurt early in the year. Then you had a redshirt freshman, and Kozar comes in, takes him to the championship,
right,
which, by the way, was a huge upset. That Nebraska 83 team was a powerhouse.
They were, Rick, we have to go to the top of the hour. Let's talk again soon. We'll talk more and remember Howard Schnellenberger right after this.